Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, don't be shy to bring your tithe. Thank you, Lord. I was thinking, you know, sitting down and this day and time here in the United States, you preach with all these technology things and you hand out all these things for people to see. I was thinking of construction. You know, here you got the chainsaw and the machines and all these things. And Dominican Republic, you got a machete and an axe and things. That's how I feel like when I come here to preach. I come with an axe and machetes and things, and I don't have all this technology that you guys have. So be ready. I don't have all this technique. So what you see is what you get. Amen? Praise the Lord. I was, you know, through the worship and doing prayers and things that we heard, I just felt the Lord is going to do some restoration today. The Lord's going to restore some things in life that is not right, but God said to you, I'm going to set up a scene or a way for you to understand that sometimes we messed over there and we walk with the guilt and shame and feel like we cannot function, we cannot be part of it because that thing is always tormenting you. And God says, I want to make it a way for you to know that I want to heal you, that I want to heal your heart from that. So just be ready to hear, I think, a message that the Lord has for us, that the Lord wants to heal your heart. The Lord wants to touch you today and assure you that you belong to Him. Amen? So just let's, before I pray, I want to just make a quick announcement about, this is the first time the Spanish church, we are one church, Global River Church, but we have the Spanish congregation, and we're not separate, but we are preparing a mission trip to Colombia. We'll probably be heading, or at least that's the day that we're going to be. August 11 through the 19. So right now we have, I think, close to 15 people that are going from the Spanish congregation, including the youth. It's mostly for youth. And if anybody in the English side feel like you want to learn some Spanish, it's a heavenly language, so it'd be good for you to start learning it. You know, we can translate here and there. But it's going to be in Spanish. So if you guys, some of you wants to be part of it, let my wife or Sue Haiti know. And because they're going to start making arrangement already to buy the tickets and all that stuff. And the hotel over there. So it's a mission trip. It will be nice. Nice experience. It's the first time. The first time trust me to lead it. So. Woo. Well, I always let the Holy Spirit lead. I praise God. So let's, Father, I thank you for this word. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you speak to us. I truly believe, Lord, that when we come to this setting, God Himself says, I have a word for you. For you. You got to say, He has a word for me. For me. And you need to be aware or pay attention what area He wants to restore. He wants to heal you from it. So, Lord, we just say thank you this morning for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I think we all need healing in some areas. Amen. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. And you know, I'm the master of chasing rabbits, so be awake, because I can go astray, all of a sudden make a turn that you say, what in the world he's going with that? So so pay attention. All right, chapter 2, Acts 2, 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. So all this took place. Jesus, according to the word, he was resurrected and he basically stayed for 40 days and then he went up to heaven. And all this happened 10 days after he ascended to heaven. So I have a question for you. Last Sunday, I didn't came to this side because I was over there. And I don't know how many people is here. Usually the camera would not show. I would like to, from time to time, I don't know if it's able to, that the camera would show everybody praising the Lord and praying and crying and whatever so that we can see it. Because many times we just see this part here and maybe three people in the front. And so people's going to think that church is empty, man. Well, who's going to go there? So we're not trying to entice anybody, but at least we can see it. You know, that would be nice. So I don't know how many people were here last Sunday. But I want, you know, in the Spanish church, it was a little bit more than usual. And everybody is dressed up. Everybody looks nice. Everybody is, you know, all kinds of. And then I asked the question, what do you do after resurrection? What do we do after resurrection? That's the question that I have for all of us, for you and for me. What do we do after resurrection? And I'm gonna say something that, but it's leaning to make a picture what God is doing, that what He's wanted to do is restore you back, restore you from the hurt and the pain and the unbelief that Satan had put into your heart, that because you did something wrong back there, now God is rejecting you and you need to go back and fix everything. When God says, no, I have forgiven you because you repented and now I want to restore you. I want to heal your heart. So God wants to heal your heart. That's the main thing. But some of you, or some of us, after resurrection, will hide out in fear. Many people will leave the church or go out and they just want to hide. They have fear of whatever. Some will deny that you knew Jesus. You know, many people come on Sunday and then you have no clue that they are Christians for the whole week. They only come on Sundays and they live a life that sometimes you cannot pick them apart from an unbeliever and a believer, because they act the same way, they look the same way, they do the same thing, and they only come on Sunday. So basically, and the way is that you are denying that you know Jesus. Some will go back to the old way of life. Just like Peter, we too, like Jesus' disciples, they all went back fishing. They all went back fishing. And I started with the scriptures, but we're probably going to stay most of the time in John 21. Because I say all this to show you what Jesus is doing. But don't think that Jesus was doing. He is doing it. He is working on your life. He is working in my life. And he wants to heal your heart from past things that have happened in your life. Okay? So this is what I felt the Lord wants to take us today. He wants to restore you back to the Father. He wants to assure you that you belong to Him. Now, we don't just keep living that way. We repent. We ask the Lord to forgive us, and He will forgive you. The Bible says that He's faithful and just to forgive you. Amen? So it might get rough a little bit, but don't worry. It's using the machete and the axe. The chainsaw probably hurt more than the machete. I don't know. But I felt very strong to say that many believers, not just one or two, but many, many believers will hold on to something or leave something behind just in case this doesn't work. You follow me? Peter never got rid of the boat because this is me thinking, it's not in the word, but I was thinking to myself, because he always felt, in fact, he told Jesus one time, we left everything for you. You know, what are we getting? And Jesus says, if you leave your father, you know the story, you leave this, you leave that, you will gain more than that if you follow me. But Peter, apparently the boat was sitting somewhere. Or his friends, but I think it was his boat. Because he was thinking, if these things don't work, I can just go back to my old way and do my business as usual. When you follow Christ, you have to burn every bridges behind you. I will never go back there. I'm no longer live there. I am a new creation. I am a child of the Lord. I don't need to go back to that. I don't need to hold on to that back there so that if this doesn't work, I have a plan B. As believers, you don't have a plan B. We have a plan A, and that is Christ. No one else. It is Jesus, and that's it. You don't have nothing else to go to. It's Jesus. Amen? So, chapter 21. I'm not going to read it just to confirm what I'm talking to you. It's John 21, verse 3. It says, Peter, and his disciples were there, and he says, I am going out to fish. Simon Peter told them, and they say, we will go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. When you separate yourself from Christ, your life will be messed up. You will not be able to do anything that will really help you. You always become empty. You always become empty. You can find your way. You can, no matter what you do, you're not going to find your happiness in anything, because it's no way that without Jesus you be satisfied. And in this situation, Peter says, I'm going back fishing. And you know, when you a leader or you have a position, when you go the wrong direction, many will follow you. That's right, when you call yourself a believer or you serving Christ, you have to walk differently and you have to do things according to the word, because if you go the wrong direction, others will follow you. Yeah. And we need to be very, very careful with that. Very careful how we live, how we go about our lives, what am I talking about, what am I doing, all that stuff, you got to be very careful, because others will follow you. They look at you. So you need to be careful with that. One of the questions here that I myself asked the question, when Jesus came to them in that sense, and I'm going to read it, why would Jesus call Simon Peter? I'm sorry, why Jesus called Peter Simon? Verse 12, Jesus was creating, like I told you, a scene where he wants to bring Peter or heal Peter from the past, from the guilt. You know, many people, when they have issues or they have maybe something is not going right with them or things is not going well, sometimes you do it because you know, everything goes well, but many times is when things doesn't go well, you hear many people says, I'm just going to take a walk at the beach, or I'm just going to go to the park, or some people says, you know what, I'm just going to go fishing, because you want to almost block everything that is going on, or you want to have a peace in your mind because you don't want that, and you think by walking in the park or by going fishing or, I don't know, walking the beach, everything is going to be finished. It won't finish. That thing that doesn't come out of you. Because it's there. When you come back, you're going to find yourself again in the same situation. So Peter was struggling. Peter was walking with his disciples. You know how many, Jesus appeared to them so many times before this. And before Acts 2. Jesus appeared to them. He knew Jesus. He knew that he was resurrected. But Peter was not able to forgive himself. He was walking with shame and guilt and all kinds of things. And maybe he was together with his disciples, but he still, that thing was bombarding his head. I am so crazy. I deny Christ. How can I be hanging out with these guys? How can we even pray? It's in one occasion when Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was risen at the time. The angel of the Lord appeared, and he told these ladies, go and tell his disciples. And he says, and Peter too. Why would you think it was that? He said to his disciples, the angel says, go and tell his disciples. And he would make that very clear, and Peter too. I wonder why. I wonder if his disciples kind of separate from Peter, or his disciple was kind of saying, oh, he was the one who denied Jesus. Oh, he, you know, Peter is here, but you know what happened. And maybe other one says, well, you ran away too. You didn't stay. I know I ran away, but I was watching, hiding, but I was watching. I didn't deny him. But many was talking maybe about Peter, and the angel make sure that he says to these ladies, go and tell his disciples and Peter too. And the Lord wants to tell you here the same thing, that he wants you to know that he is risen. And that he loves you. That he loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to know that. So in verse 12 of this chapter, chapter 21, verse 12, it says, Jesus says to them, come and have breakfast. You know, when we want to restore somebody back to the fold, back to come to walk with the Lord, you don't go and point a finger immediately and say, you remember this, you gotta go and fix these things because look what you did. And if you repent, God will forgive you. Yes, he does. But we have to set a time and a way that I come in alongside of my brother and put my hands around him and says, brother, can I talk to you? Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's have breakfast. Maybe if you are able to, even bring it to your own house and do it personally. Make the eggs, make the toast, and sit with him or sit with her and talk to her and says, I love you. I love you. And create a scene where that person doesn't feel condemned. That person doesn't feel like you're judging, but you are bringing the person to understand that the love of the Father, what he wants is to restore you back, to bring you back. God is not a business of crushing people or destroying people. That's not what God wants. God is in the business of creating a new person, bringing it back to the family. God is a God of a family. He wants you to be part. And that's what God's doing in this thing here. Now, he's gonna work it out where I think Peter is going to realize that he being tormented about something that God already had forgiven him. And I believe that many of in the church today are tormented by things that God already have forgiven you. that Satan has lied to you, and that you're carrying this guilt and shame and all kinds of things, when God says, I have forgiven you. I saw you cry. You know, if you read the Bible, you don't hear Peter basically confessing, oh, Lord, forgive me, for I deny you, like we do. Peter just cried. He was wailing, crying. God saw his heart. God has seen your tear. God has seen that you have repented. God sees your heart, and he knows that you have filled remorse and guilt, and you say, Lord, I want you to forgive me for this. I don't want to carry this. And the Lord forgives you. So don't carry that any longer with you. You don't have to feel shame and guilt for all these things that happen, because God himself says, I have forgiven you. I want to heal your heart so that you walk in the fullness that you've been created for. Amen? So, Jesus said breakfast, and you know how everything was set up. All this was done. Imagine God himself. Think about it. God himself make that scene or make that way that was, the way it was, just for Peter. All this, chapter 21, it was written because God wanted to touch or reach a brother that was tormented by Satan for guilt and shame that God already had forgiven him. And God himself make that fire and the fish and everything there just to have a time with Peter. Just to have the time with Peter. And God is making the same thing for you. You may come to church, or you read the word, or you hear preaching, and God is basically making the same scene in front of you and saying, do you know why are you here today? I want you to hear this word because I want to heal your heart. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I have forgiven you. I want you to know that I want to restore to your fullness position. Remember the prodigal son? Sometimes we take detour. I always say this. Sometimes we take a detour in our life, and hey, especially when you have young children, you don't want them to take a detour. You always tell them, make sure you go the same way, you know, don't go around, whatever. So we take a detour in our lives. And you know, when you take that detour, it doesn't go well for you. Things messed up. And some of us, by the grace of God, I don't think I have taken too many detours, but I know there's some of you, and I don't think it's a secret that my brother here is an open book. So he can share that with anybody else. He have taken some detours in his life. And he can tell you that those detours only lead you to a craziness that you don't say, why in the world I went that direction, you know? But God loves you so much that when you take that detour, like that young man, that son that went away and took that detour from his father and the prodigal son, and when the son realized, I'm going the wrong direction, I need to get back. I need to get back to the right path. When he turned, what happened? We know the story. The father never told him, go back to those pigs and dress them up and take the clothes from them, wherever, clean yourself up, take a shower at least over there, and when you have some shoes and whatever, you come over. No. The father opened his arms and says, welcome home. Welcome home. And God is telling you today, welcome home. Welcome home. You don't need to go back to all that stuff and says, I'm guilty and I'm ashamed and I can do this. I can. God says, I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. And you see the story there where the man dressed his son up and he restored him to the position that he would belong. He was a son. And I believe that God cries for us. When we walk away and you take the detour and your life is messed up and God is just waiting. And you know that the good thing is that God doesn't wait over there. He waits and where you make it back and you come back to the right path and God is right there and says, I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you. And he restored your life. How wonderful is the life compared to this craziness that Satan can make you do things to go in the wrong direction. Yes. Come to Jesus. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of restoration. God is going to restore your life. But you have to understand that you can no longer hold on to this craziness that you think God is hammering you or Satan ties you down with those things. And you need to set yourself free from that. Fear or whatever, anything that would be, you need to let that go and you need to say, no, I am a child of God. I'm a free man. I'm a free woman. I can worship and I can adore my Lord, for he has set me free. Amen. He has set you free. Walk in the freedom. Somebody said to him, let it give Satan a headache. I said, let his head explode with a headache, man. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus was calling Peter Simon because he went back to his old way. And Jesus was saying, Simon, don't you know who you are? I mean, he didn't say those words, but I think Jesus was saying, Simon, how come you went back to Simon? Why is it you went back to your old way, so to live your old life? That's not you. That's not who you are. You're not a fit. Turn around, brother. Let all these people see. Where's the camera? Come here, brother. Yeah. Just your back to the camera. Come on, stand up. Put the camera in there. What it says? I saw you when you were here. I want to be a fisherman of men. Amen? Thank you, brother. That's what God says to Peter. God says to Peter, you're no longer a fisherman or a fish. How do you call that? A fisherman. Now you are fishers of men. But Peter went back fishing. So when they land, verse 9, chapter 21, John 21, verse 9, says, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There with fish in it and some bread. Why would you think Jesus did that? Think about it. Why would Jesus set a scene where can Peter go back to his memory and says, I deny Christ? I know that it's not easy for us to anybody tell us, I told you so. Nobody likes that. Hello, this happened because I told you last week, and look what you did. No, everybody hates that. You don't need to tell me. You don't need to. But Jesus is not saying that. Jesus is trying to communicate a love message to Peter to heal him so that he can know that does no longer apply to you. So Jesus set up the fire. Did the fire of coals remind Peter of his denials? I believe it did. I believe it did. And he started feeling the same thing. He started to feel guilty. Why am I here? Why even fishing? Why am I come over here when I deny him? How can he called me friends to come for breakfast and sit next to him when I deny him. He was tormented by the devil with that. And many, I believe that many people in the church are tormented by the devil the same way. Maybe a different story, different things. But you're being tormented by the devil and you need to tell the devil to take a hike because you've been set free by Christ himself. By Jesus himself, you're being delivered, you're being set free, and you need to walk in that freedom. I think the church of God is being doomed by Satan, and people believe in the enemy more than believe in Christ. You need to believe Christ set you free, and you are free indeed. Not halfway. So here, this situation, I think it reminds Peter, when he denied Jesus. And look, John 18, verse 17. John 18, verse 17 and 18. This is when Jesus was taken to the high priest, and this girl came to Peter and says, you are not one of his disciples, are you? The girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, I am not. It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. I don't know how early in the morning it was when Jesus appeared on the shore and they went on the boat, but Peter jumped on the water and he swam to the shore. Probably was cold. And when he saw the fire, he felt cold and everything. I bet you in his mind it was a picture exactly how he was standing when he denied Christ. And Jesus was setting it up to heal him. Some things in your life is not that somebody's pointing the finger at you or to tell you something. God wants you to know that he wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. Receive it from a brother, from a sister, or a pastor, or the word. Receive it. When God says something and you feel it, it's because God wants to heal you. God wants to restore your heart to the rightful place. Did the miraculous catch of fish remind Peter his call to service? I believe it did. And you can see that in Luke 5. There was when Jesus called them. They were fishermen, and Jesus called them. And then Jesus says to Peter, now you will be a fisher of men. I believe that Peter there remembered. And he says, I have walked away from my calling. And I want to say to you today that many of you probably even have tried or maybe thought about it or somehow been deceived to walk away from your calling. And God wants to bring you back and restore you back and to tell you what you're doing and the way you're going is not what I call you to do or to be. Whatever that is, I let the Holy Spirit. That's right. And when we start, I say, the word, the God Himself, the word, the Lord has a word for you and for me. He has a word for you. But if you fall asleep or your mind is someplace else, and the devil comes and just steal that word from you, and you leave this house empty, you don't even know what was going on. But God has a word for you, for everyone here. That you need to hold and you need to say, that was for me. Many people try this and try that and try this and they're never happy and they're always miserable and they're always this. And God says, because you have walked away from the calling on your life. I'm not telling you that everybody is a pastor, everybody needs to be in church and you need 7 days a week. No, it might be at your work. It might be whatever you do. But if you walk away from the calling of God in your life, you are outside of God's will, and therefore you'll be miserable. No, it doesn't. So you have to come to the will of God and be in His will to do what God calls you to do. How kind of Jesus. Just think about that. I think I mentioned to you already, but how kind of Jesus to feed Peter before dealing with him about his sins. How kind of Jesus. Think about how wonderful is God that He brings you to a table. He sits you down. He calls you friend. In that verse it says, in I think in verse 5, that Jesus says, hey, friends, you guys have something? Come over. You guys have something to eat? Or you have catch anything? Whatever that is. How nice of Jesus. And that's why I want to communicate with you that we represent Christ here on this world. The world is falling apart, as they say. As one preacher says, the world is not falling apart. The world is falling right in place of the Bible or the prophecies of the Word. And it's true. It's definitely true. It's falling right in the pages of the Word. Where everything, the chaotic thing you see, all the craziness that you see, is falling right in the scriptures of the Word. That's right, you need to read it. We're living in those times. But how nice of Jesus. And that's why I said to you, we are brothers. We love one another. If you see a brother going into some situation or a young lady or whoever, you need to, as brothers and sisters, you need to put your arms around her and say, can I talk to you? Miss Ari does that. Miss Ari, you have all kinds of, how do you call these, diploma, whatever it is. because she is a master of loving people and encouraging them to continue on, but you got to stop that. Amen? You got to stop that. And I love you to tell you that that's not right. That's a misery. I love you enough to tell you that that's not right. And that's how all the believers should be. You hug them. You love them. You bring it over. You set a meal of them and talk to them like a brother and heal them. Now, if somebody keeps going the wrong direction over and over and over, the Bible says you don't have to eat with that person. Amen? So don't, as the Bible says, don't throw your pearls on pigs and dogs, whatever. You know, make sure that the person wants to repent, that the person wants to. Because if somebody doesn't want it, let him go. I'm a pastor, and I tell you, I'm a pastor in the Spanish congregation. They know me already. If I call you 3 or 4 times and I tell you what's going on, and then I call you back and you're still going the same, I don't call you no more. I'm not going to waste my time with somebody who wants to stay back there and they don't want to walk forward. I have a place to go. I have people to meet. I have things to do. I'm not going to waste my time if you don't want to move forward. And I tell them. I told them, I'm clear with that. So we need to be the same. We need to love them if they want to be loved and they want it to be restored. They don't want to, let it go. Amen? Okay. So thank you, Jesus, that Jesus loves us so much that He make that way of us to understand that He that is not condemning you, He's not condemning me, He was not condemning Peter, He was trying to heal his heart. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Jesus. But let me tell you also another thing, that the most important thing of anything you do in life, the most important thing of any ministry, it doesn't matter if it's ministering to one or ministering to the whole church, or you're a person who invite you all over the churches to preach around the world and everything you do, or whatever it is. Nothing is more important than loving Christ. If you don't love Christ, no matter what you do, it means nothing to God. Amen? So you have to love Christ first. If you love Him, you'll be able to love your brother. If you love Him, you'll be able to help somebody. But you do it out of love for Christ. And because you love Christ, you do the work of Christ. Amen? That's what James says. Show me your faith and I show you my work, because they both go together. If I am in Christ, I help people. I love my brother here because I see him doing things and helping and anyway, carrying things and doing things. This is what we need to be. Who we need to be, that the hands and feet of Jesus. Helping people, loving people, encouraging them. That's the work. People say, how can I serve God? You know how you serve God? Serving others. That's the only way you do it. You can't, God is not going to come down and says, can you please take off my shoes? No, he's going to put a man that's not be able to bend down, and he's going to say, can you please take my shoes? Oh, I don't touch dirty feet. Oh, no, I don't do that. I'm a pastor, and I have my tie and jacket, so I don't do that. No, we serve the Lord, and we do the work of Jesus. How we serve God? By serving people. Serving others, loving people, loving one another, encouraging one another. That's how it is. It's not a rocket science thing. You don't need to quote the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation to do all that. You just have the love of Christ in you, and you do all that. And you do all that without even thinking about it. Without making a journal that one day when you go to heaven, thank you, brother, that one day when you go to heaven, Jesus is going to tell you, I don't know you. You know why God would say that to some people? Because when you went to visit somebody and you brought, a hamburger, you go home and you put it down, today I went to visit so-and-so, and I gave him a hamburger, and I pray for him. Then next week, and you all of a sudden you have a big chart of things that you, the good deeds that you have done. You've been praying, the person got healed when you did this. And when you go to heaven, Lord, I was the best on earth. Look at what I did. And Jesus says, who are you? I don't know you. Who do you think you are? But when you do all that, and you don't let it go into your head, and you just give it to the Lord, when you go to heaven, Jesus says, good and faithful servant, you visited me when I was in jail. What? When did I do that? I was in the hospital, and you went there, and you called the nurse because I was crying, and she didn't come out, and you helped me. What? When did I do that? You don't write those things down. You don't put it down like you earn something. It's all for his glory and honor, and you had to be thankful that he allowed you to do his work. Amen? That is all about. It's only Christ. It's not you. It's him. Jesus, help us to give him all the praise and glory and honor, for he is worthy. Amen? So Jesus, we love Jesus. Amen? The most important thing is to love the Lord. By Jesus saying to Peter, in this scripture, chapter 21, by Jesus saying to Peter, after all that, he says, follow me. What he was saying? I have restored you to your rightful position as an apostle. Follow me, Peter. And he's telling you today, if you truly repent and you truly say to the Lord, Lord, I thank you that I have been forgiven for this. I'm no longer doing that. I'm no longer being part of that. Whatever that would be, you know yourself. And God says, I have restored you to your fullness position. I have forgiven you, and you walk in freedom from this day forward. Don't let Satan torment you with that thing that you have done, whatever time was. Because if you repented from your heart, God will forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Amen? Yeah. So we need to walk in that freedom so that we can be the light. Yeah. So that we can shine in those dark places. That's the reason the light of the believers many times is just a flickering. Because you got so many craziness in your head that you think your light is not shining any longer. And Jesus says, don't we take a shower? No, we have a work day, whatever we work. Some people take a shower every 2 days, twice a day. I don't. But I mean, you know, you take a shower and you change clothes. It's the same. When you go home, you ask the Lord, Lord, the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, did I do something today? And I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit, for the tiniest things that you did, the Holy Spirit, right in the moment, brings you back in your memory and says, yes, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for that, Lord. You know, yesterday we were doing some things, and I helped this lady because she bought some things and it didn't fit in the car. So anyway, I took it to the house, and my goodness, they live in an area that, you know, we have a nice life. You look at your house, we look at us, and we see, and we think everybody is the same. Like, we don't, you know, House of Mercy, they do a tremendous work helping these people. And some people, maybe they don't even look like they need so much help. So I went to these two ladies, and they have a Down syndrome young man or whatever it is. Anyway, he sometimes act not violent, but he act differently. So I went to bring that stuff to them, and she said, can you bring it inside the house? So I brought it in. Oh, my God. When you see the house, you say, how can people live like that? How could? So she, the mother of the girl, I helped them. And so she gave me some money. And I said, no, thank you. Thank you. And she said, no, I want you to have it. So I remember somebody said to me one time, listen, when you don't take it, you are robbing that person from being blessed. So I was like, okay. I said, okay. So anyway, she gave it to me. You know, I can tell you the amount, but anyway, it was $7. And I pray for them. And anyway, I encourage them to come to Global River. They have a church. I said, you know, we do this. And anyway, I told them what we do. And they were very, very happy. Look at my brother. You know, brother, I think it was yesterday, I was praying. And I, in my spirit, I don't say the Lord told me, but it was, I guess, in my spirit, I saw you walking into the church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Amen. Amen. So we help people. We don't say, I don't go here, or I don't go there. You go wherever the Lord tells you to go and do whatever the Lord tells you to do, because you are serving the Lord. You are working for Jesus. And we need to do what He tells us to do. So Jesus says to Peter, follow me. And He was restoring him to the position to be an apostle. But one thing, be careful with this. Peter, after all that, you would think Peter already kind of got it. But now Peter, in the same chapter, he looks back. He looks back, and what happened? Do you know the story? Look what happened when he looked back. He saw somebody walking behind them, and he was worried or concerned about his walk, I guess. You know, I think many of us, instead of checking myself out, I'm checking somebody out to see how they're doing. When you need to check your heart, you need to take the big things in your eyes to be able to look the other speck in somebody's eyes. And Peter kind of looked back, and Jesus basically had to rebuke him. And Jesus says to him, what is that to you? Basically, in Spanish we say, ¿qué te importa? ¿Qué te importa a ti la vida de él cuando la vida tuya está messed up? What do you care about somebody's life when your life is messed up? You need to worry about yourself. You need to worry your life. You need to worry that your heart is right and that your heart is working in obedience with the Lord before you point the finger to somebody else. Amen? That's what Jesus basically is telling Peter. You just follow me. So the Lord is saying to all of us, you just follow me. You, me, every one of us, you just follow me. Yes, we worry about my brother, not worrying the concern that I have to point the finger and says all these crazy things and start gossiping about the person. No, we go embrace the brother, put our arms around them and walk with them and tell them what you're doing is not what a Christian should do. The way you are going about your life is not what the Bible says. If you continue that way, do me a favor. Don't call yourself a Christian. Because you're giving a bad testimony to me and to everyone else. You ruin many unbelievers that because your behavior, calling yourself a Christian, they're not coming to me, the Christ says, because the way you are behaving, the way you're doing things. So you're better off not call yourself a believer. Amen? The Bible says if you make one of those little ones stumble, it would have been better for you to put a rock in your head and throw yourself in the middle of the ocean. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So that's right, you got to be careful. When you walk to the store and you do things, you go whatever it is, you need to be careful because Satan is watching. Somebody is watching. And one thing that I always says, I don't understand how can an unbeliever know how a Christian should behave. They don't read the Bible. They don't follow anything of God, but they know exactly how a believer should behave. It's the spirit in them. Oh, yeah. So we need to make sure that we are witness even without saying a word. That our behavior, I told many times the Spanish congregation, I tell them many times, even when you go shopping, sometimes you go and just take the little car to go shopping, and it has a piece of paper there. Sometimes somebody leaves like a newspaper, but those papers they give you, or a small little box thing, and they go, I said, you know, when you go shopping and you come out, you walk the little car where it's supposed to be, and if it's a paper in there, even though you didn't put it there, you take it out because somebody's going to see and they're going to believe that you did it. Little things like that. We need to be aware because somebody is watching. Somebody is looking. And they're going to point the finger and look at that guy. He called himself a Christian and he threw the car from here to there. Oh, that was Pastor Willie. Look, he left the car in the middle of the parking lot. I'm like, those are little things that you think is no big deal. They are big deal for the people who don't know Christ. That's a big deal for somebody who knows you, that you call yourself a believer and you're doing that. For them, it's a big thing. And they're going to say, look, they're all hypocrites. The Lord is speaking to us. The Lord wants us to represent him to the fullness. So it's very dangerous when Peter looked back, because you remember when Matthew 14:30, when he was walking on water, remember? And Jesus, he took his eyes off Jesus, and immediately he was sinking. But what happened when that happened to your life? If it's something like that happened to your life, what you need to do is immediately raise your hand and says, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. I'm drowning in this situation. I'm going through something, Lord, that I cannot handle. Please, Lord Jesus, help me. And he will be there. He will reach his hand. He will stretch his hands and we picked you up and he will put you in the right path. He will protect you. He will save you. But you need to cry out to the Lord. You need to cry out to the Lord. Ask him to help you. He is your helper. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our comforter. He will comfort you in those moments. Don't always depend on the pastor and whoever it is. No, you call on Jesus. You call on Jesus. And he will answer. He will lift you up. Amen? Jesus, thank you, Lord. So Jesus really have to rebuke Peter. You saw that in verse 21 and 22. John 21, verse 21 and 22. So we do not need to worry about anybody else. Ministry. You worry about yourself. Jesus says, just follow me. Just follow me. Don't worry about this ministry, that thing, these people, the way they do, the way they go. Jesus says, look at yourself and just follow me. Look at yourself and follow me. Because we have tendency to point the finger. Everybody doesn't look me right. Everybody doesn't say the right word. And I'm always recording to hear the person, how they sound, how they say, how they look. And my goodness, you need to walk on eggshell. You do. I'm from Dominican Republic, and I don't walk on eggshell. I don't know how to do it. I crush them all the time. I do. I do. And I think God is saying to us, you need to have a little bit more, your skin has to be a little bit more tough, because somebody's going to rub you the wrong direction, the wrong way. And if you keep being so sensitive about everything, you're going to fall apart. You're going to go somewhere that you don't need to go. We need to rough it up. My friend, we're living in a time where somebody's going to point the finger at you and tell you the truth. Oh, yeah, there's coming a time. And we need to do that. We need to be accountable to one another and say, brother, I love you. I love you. I can wring your neck for what you're doing, but I love you. Turn around. Turn around. Jesus. I have a halfway to go, but I'm done. Because the timing. Thank you, Jesus. So this is what Jesus said. You just follow me. His word is still a lamp unto our feet. Amen? His word. What is a lamp unto your feet? What would a lamp do? It light your path. It lights your path. So the word is the lamp. They will light the path that you should walk, so that you walk sturdily, that you walk firmly, or you walk in the right direction, the word of God. That's why I always say to you, do not depart from the word of God. Read the word. Buy another Bible. You got one, buy two more. Keep it in your house. I believe that there'll come a time, I don't know when, I don't know if we will be here, but maybe our generation will be here, and this book I know that the Bible never going to be thrown away. That's not what I'm saying. But it will be some restrictions where you might not end up be able to buy the Bible. If you buy a Bible, it will be written by this AI thing that is all messed up, and you think you're going to be reading the truth, and it's not the truth. Make sure that you keep few Bibles in your house. More than one, two or three. My wife always says, whoever dies with more Bibles wins. So... So I'm going to die with a lot of Bibles. I have a lot of Bibles, all kinds of different versions. So make sure you read the Bible. Let's stand. I want to just read Acts 4, 39, 29 and 31, I think. Okay. Acts 4.29-31. Now, Lord, Peter was saying this. Now, Lord, consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. I believe that we are in this time, brothers and sisters, that we need to speak his word with boldness. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Speak it out. And speak the word of God. With love, speak the word of God. For it's the only thing that will heal people. It's the only thing that will help people. It's the only thing that will teach people how to live the way God wants us to live. Not your instructions or your opinions. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miracle signs and wonders. Through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And verse 31 says, and after they pray, the place where they were meeting was shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. So, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that as you spoke to us this morning, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we as believers understand that you have forgiven us, that you have restored us to the rightful place where you want us to be. Father God, and from this moment forward, we're going to speak the word boldly. We're not going to be shy. We're not going to have any fear. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. For the gospel, Father God, is the light, is the truth. It is for the salvation of everyone who believes. So, Father, we just say thank you, Lord. Empower you, empower, Father God, your children. Empower my brothers and sisters. Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit to be in the house. And everyone here, Father God, when they go out, they will burn. The Holy Spirit, Father God, will burn everything that is not of you. In the name of Jesus, bless your people, Father. In Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.